Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Is your marriage valid? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are continuing our look at the Journal of Discourses, kind of getting a glimpse of what 19th century Mormonism would have looked like had you lived in the Salt Lake area during the 1800s. And certainly when you had leaders such as Brigham Young and Orson Pratt and John Taylor, you know, running the show, things were probably, you would consider, much more lively, at least the way they described themselves in their sermons. And we're asking the question, if you're a Latter-day Saint, would you feel comfortable living in a 19th century context of Mormonism? So we're going through the Journal of Discourses, and we're going to tell you right up front, we know that 21st century Mormonism probably doesn't hold to a lot of the things that were said back in the 19th century. But then you, as a Latter-day Saint, have to ask yourselves, why? Why the difference? If these men back then were receiving their information from the same God that Mormon apostles and prophets claim to get their information from today. We are looking today at Volume 16 in the Journal of Discourses, and there's some interesting statements regarding marriage. And Orson Pratt, you got to admit, Orson Pratt had an interesting way of saying things. And on Volume 16, this was on August 31st, 1873, this is what Orson Pratt, a Mormon apostle, said on pages 175 and 176.
He said, "If I have been baptized by the Presbyterians, Church of England, Roman Catholics, Greek Church, Wesleyans, or by any other religious denomination which denies any later revelations in the Bible, my baptism is good for nothing." He goes down later at the bottom of that page and says, "I said their baptisms are illegal." Now let me go a little further and say that the ordinance of marriage is illegal among all people, nations, and tongues, unless administered by a man appointed by new revelation from God to join the male and female as husband and wife. And obviously he's referring to Mormonism and the authority that they believe that the Mormon officials would have.
But we should make it clear, he throws in baptisms there. So yeah. If you are baptized in another denomination, then naturally, of course, the Mormons would say that that's null and void. That certainly has nothing to do with eternity and would certainly not be accepted by God.
And then he goes on, page 176, end of the first paragraph, he says, "In the sight of heaven, these marriages," with the civil magistrates, "are illegal and the children illegitimate."
Okay, well, we look at volume 17. He goes on to be even more colorful, you might say, on this one. And I have the page here. It's page 152. This was spoken in 1874. Orson Pratt says, "Now I want to say a few words to our young people who dwell in different parts of the territory. I have heard that some of them, perhaps through a want of understanding of the laws of God, have suffered themselves to be married by the civil law, for instance, by a justice of the peace, alderman, or judge. That will do very well so far as the laws of the land are concerned, but has God anything to do with such marriages? Nothing at all. Has he ever authorized marriages to be solemnized after this order? Not at all. Are children born of such marriages your legal sons and daughters in the sight of heaven? Not at all. They are, in one sense," and I don't know if I can say this word on Christian radio, so I'll say it in Spanish, "not at all, they are in one sense bastardos." Okay, so if you wonder what I'm saying there and you need an English to Spanish dictionary, you'll know what I'm saying. "That is a pretty hard saying," Orson Pratt goes on to say, "is it not? They are actually, again, bastardos." That's what he calls them. In that same volume, he says on page 226, he says that some of our young people professing to be members of the church and who say they wish to keep the commandments of God go and get married by a justice of the peace or some person authorized to perform that ceremony by the civil law. Ask parties who are guilty of such folly why they were married by these officers of the law until death should part them, and they will say, "We did it inconsiderately and without reflection." Or perhaps they will say that their parents did not teach them on that point. Do you not know that such marriages are not sealed by him that is appointed by divine authority, that they are not of God and are illegal in his sight, and your children are illegitimate in the sight of God? He went on to the next page, 227, he says, "What has God to do with such a marriage as that? Has God joined them together? No, a civil magistrate has done it. And it is legal so far as the laws of the country are concerned, and the children are legal and heirs to their parents' property so far as the civil law is concerned. But what has God to do with it? Has he joined them together? No, and the marriage is illegal. And in the sight of heaven, the children springing from such a marriage are bastardos." There we go again with the Spanish.
I think we would agree that that's pretty straightforward and rougher than what 21st century Mormonism would actually say. But in a sense, wouldn't you agree, Bill, that if you don't get married in the temple for both time and eternity, if you just go down to a local wedding chapel and get married outside the temple, in essence, you're going to be damned because you have to have that temple marriage. You have to have the children sealed to you. Being born in the covenant's a very important thing for those who are Latter-day Saints, and so you have to have had the temple marriage. So while maybe this is a little bit harsher, the idea is still there.
Oh, I would agree totally, and this is why young Mormon couples are encouraged to be temple worthy in order for their union to be blessed, if you will, by the Mormon Church and also have the authority to last, as you said, through time and eternity. Unfortunately, there's a lot of, in a Mormon context, unfortunately, there are a lot of Mormons who get married and don't go through that process. They may go through it later on in life through a sealing ceremony to bring their children with them. But you know, even though they go through the celestial marriage ceremony in the Mormon temple, in whatever temple it is, that still doesn't guarantee that they're going to be together with their family for time and eternity because they still have to live up to all those commandments.
Keep the commandments continually.
They have to keep celestial law, and celestial law includes other things besides merely being married for time and eternity in a temple. It's basically understood in Mormon thought that to keep celestial law, you have to keep the whole law. And we've talked about this many times. You have to keep all the commandments. You have to repent of all your sins. In other words, everybody in the family unit, if they are going to be together in the next life, have to be quote unquote equally righteous, if you will. They all have to be keeping celestial law. And that, you know, think about that. That has to cause some anxiety for some parents because many families, even Mormon families, if they're honest, they have kids that are struggling with their faith, maybe don't want to live up to the same kind of moral code that their parents were raised under and aren't quite with it when it comes to Mormonism. I mean, I see kids all the time here in Utah, and you have to wonder, they probably came from a Mormon background, but probably don't believe a lot of what their parents believe. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, there's no hope of them being with the parents in the next life. I mean, even if they were to repent and get right in the spirit world, you have several Mormon leaders that have made it very clear that they squandered their opportunity during this mortality, and the best they can hope for is the terrestrial kingdom in the next life. They are not going to have celestial exaltation. And so what does that mean? Well, you can understand in a Mormon context, this must be terrible for a Mormon parent because their children, the thing that they're looking forward to being with throughout eternity, which I find is odd because rarely do I ever find a Mormon who is looking forward to be with Jesus in eternity. They're all looking forward to be with their family. Jesus doesn't even seem to play a role with them in the next life. But they're going to lose that. The one thing they hope to have is going to be gone if that child is not living up to the standard. If a spouse is not living up to that standard, they won't be there either. I mean, can you imagine? You don't know that your spouse has some kind of secret sin in their life, and come the resurrection, your spouse isn't there in the celestial kingdom afterwards. That's going to be a huge disappointment if Mormonism is true, which of course we don't find anything like this in the New Testament at all, that we don't find any hint of this in the New Testament of being together as a family unit. We are all the family of God if we are believers and are forgiven of our sins by what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. But you're right, Eric. This is not something that's so unusual in modern Mormon thought, but you have to admit Orson Pratt has quite a way of getting his thought across. I can't even imagine this kind of language being used in a modern context or coming across a pulpit in conference.
In the latest, July 2012, just recently came out with the Ensign magazine on page 24, talks about the different covenants, and on page 24, the sealing, if the spouses are faithful, it talks about, when an individual enters into the covenant of marriage in the temple, he or she makes covenants with both God and his or her spouse. Spouse promise faithfulness to each other and to God. They are promised exaltation, and their family relationships can continue throughout eternity. But it does go on and say individual faithfulness to our covenants is required for the earthly ordinance to be sealed or made valid in heaven by the Holy Spirit. Individuals who keep their promises, even when their spouse do not forfeit the blessings promised in the sealing. And we need to understand that you have to keep that on your own. And if you don't keep that, whether you're a spouse, as you were talking about, or a child, yes, the child can get sealed, but that's just not good enough. You're going to have to keep the commandments continually. And as this article talks about, the covenants.
Yeah, it's one part that they have to be sealed for time and eternity. It's another thing. They have to live up to that standard that qualifies them to be with their family for time and eternity, to be with their spouse for time and eternity. And, of course, who is actually doing that?
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Viewpoint on Mormonism is a radio show dedicated to discussing the differences between Mormonism and Christianity in a loving, gentle format. Sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry, this show's goal is to look carefully at the Bible and determine whether or not the beliefs, as taught by the leaders of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, correspond to truth. Now, whether you're a Latter-day Saint or a Christian, you can contact us and even ask a question that we could answer in a future show. Here's how. Email us at contact@mrm.org. Again, that's contact@mrm.org. And if you're a Christian who would like to financially support this radio ministry, you can do that as well. Just go to our website, www.mrm.org, and go to the right top button called Donate. This ministry cannot exist without the financial support of our friends and listeners, and we are grateful to everyone who plays a vital role in what we do. Again, that's mrm.org. We're glad to be on the air and providing this information to you.